Good morning.
The three Bible readings today come from Psalm 139, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28, and Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Psalm 139. Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me. Whether I am working or resting, you know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. And if I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them had ever begun. Oh God, how difficult I find your thoughts. How many of them are there? If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh God, how I wish you would kill the wicked. How I wish violent people would leave me alone. They say wicked things about you. They speak evil things against your name. Oh Lord, how I hate those who hate you. How I despise those who rebel against you. I hate them with total hatred. I regard them as my enemies. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me and guide me in the everlasting way. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus answered him, what do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them? The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as you love yourself. You are right, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we thank you that by your Spirit you speak to us. And Lord, we pray that today you will teach us new things about you, but help us to respond to you, to receive your word, to believe it and trust it, to act on it, and to draw closer to you as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning concludes our series on stewardship, a way of life. Over the past couple of months, we've been thinking about various aspects of our life. We've thought about our relationships, our money, our possessions, our gifts and talents, our time, and our world. And this morning, we sum up our series as we think about who we are, our very being, and how we can be wise stewards of who we are. As we've heard in previous weeks, Psalm 24 says that the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are his. In other words, all that we are and all that we have is because of God's goodness to us. And if we want to be good stewards in the whole of our lives, we have to learn how to be wise stewards of who we actually are, as much as being good stewards of what we have. Now that is because we, every single one of us, are important. We have been created by God, designed by him, and God loves us for who we are because he made us to be us. It is through him that we discover our identity and our purpose, and in him that we learn to be all that we've been made to be. Now, Psalm 139 is perhaps one of the most well-known psalms in the Bible. And it reminds us of this truth, that God created each one of us. And because of that, he knows and he understands everything about us. Lord, you've examined me and you know me, the psalmist began. And he went on, even before I speak, you already know what I will say. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? You see, there's nothing about us that God does not know. Nothing. And there's nowhere that we can go to hide from him. Now, I guess if you're sitting here this morning thinking you would love to try and escape from God, then that is a very scary thought. But if you're sitting here this morning thinking you want to know God more, you want to follow him more, you want him to be more involved in your life, then this is really assuring. God knows us better than we know ourselves. We can never be apart from him. And even though he knows everything, even those things that we don't want anyone else to know, God loves us. Now that is amazing, but it's also something that, if we're honest, most of us at times sometimes struggle to do. I wanted Susie to read those verses from Luke's Gospel today, when the teacher of the law asked Jesus that question. And we heard that the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as you love yourself. Familiar words, and those words led on for Jesus to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And often when we're looking at those verses, we then talk about the importance of showing kindness to those in need, of being compassionate to those who aren't like us. But we can easily overlook the fact that the Bible says we are to love others as we love ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be arrogant or self-centered or boastful. That is the kind of love for ourselves that we are right to shy away from. But it does mean we have to accept who we are. We need to recognize our own value and worth. We need to receive God's love for the person that he created us to be. And I think if we're honest, A lot of us can find that quite difficult to do. As we look around in society today, so often people are valued for different reasons. And there are four main reasons that I think people get their value or worth. People are valued because of their position in life, their status in society, whether they're famous or whether they're just ordinary. People are valued for their performance, for what they do and how skilled they are. People are valued for their possessions, for what they own. And people are valued for their personal appearance and how they present themselves. Now, so often the world is putting value on people for these reasons. And that leaves most of us ordinary folk feeling a little bit inadequate. And I think it leaves everyone feeling quite insecure, because these things cannot be guaranteed, and these things do not last. This morning, I want us all to understand that our true value comes from the fact that we have been created by the living God, designed exactly as we are, and loved for that very reason. Nothing can take that value and worth away from us. And as we begin to grasp that fact, then we can have the right kind of love and respect for ourselves. And from that place of security, learn to love our neighbour. Around 10 years ago, two friends of mine, Liz and Dave, got engaged. And I went along to their engagement party. Now, I'm sure you know, all good parties end up in the kitchen. And there was a whole crowd of us standing in the kitchen. And Liz suddenly called across the kitchen to Dave and said, I meant to ask you earlier, have you seen my pot? Dave looked a bit puzzled. What pot? He said. My pot from the mantelpiece, said Liz. Now, by this time, there was a hush descending in the kitchen. And we were all listening in to this conversation. I don't know what you're talking about, Dave said, beginning to get cross. Yes, you do, she said. You know the one. The small pot, it sits in the middle of the mantelpiece. I noticed yesterday it wasn't there. Do you know where it's gone? Ah, yeah. It's in the bin, said Dave. Liz's face just dropped. In the bin, she said. In the bin? Why is it in the bin? Well, it's in the bin because it's broken. I meant to tell you, I knocked it off the mantelpiece by mistake, and then it broke, so I threw it away. You did what? Shouted Liz. I threw it away. It was broken. Liz's eyes began to fill with tears. You threw my pot away. I don't believe you. How could you? I don't see what the problem is, said Dave. I didn't like it anyway. It was horrible. He said the colours on it had run, it was an odd shape, it's not as if it was worth anything, and then it got broken, so I just threw it away. By this time, Liz had tears streaming down her face. I can't believe you did that, she said. She ran out of the kitchen, she ran upstairs, she slammed the door. So like a good friend, I followed Liz upstairs, and when she'd stopped crying, I said to her, what's happened? I can't believe you threw it away, she kept saying. I said, what is this pot? Where did you get it? What was it like? I knew he didn't like it, Liz said. But that was my pot, and I loved it. I know it didn't look much to anyone else. And he's right, it wasn't worth any money. If I took it to a boot sale, I probably couldn't give it away. And the paint had run. And it wasn't symmetrical. But that pot meant everything to me. And I loved it because I made it when I was at primary school. Even now, Liz said, I can remember the day our teacher said we were going to do pottery. She said, I can remember getting the clay, making the shape. I can remember my excitement when it came back from the kiln. I can remember choosing the colours that I wanted to use and the pattern that I wanted to go on the inside. I know it wasn't worth any money. I know it doesn't look much to anyone else, but I loved it just as it was, because I made it. That is a true story, and yes, they did go on to get married. But I just think that is such an incredible illustration of why God loves each one of us so much. Yeah, there's probably always something in our lives that we don't like about ourselves. And sometimes we might wish we were a bit more like somebody else. But God made us to be different. God loves variety. And just like Liz with our pot, God loves each one of us because he made us to be who we are. He designed us to be different to anybody else. And it's not because of what we do, it's because of who we are that God loves us. Now, if we're going to learn to be good stewards of who we are, we have to learn to like ourselves and to love ourselves. We need to recognize that we are valuable and precious, every bit as much as everyone else. We need to get ourselves to the point where, like the psalmist, we can say, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves us because he made us to be who we are. And as he designed each one of us, he also created us for a purpose that he had in mind. Susie read to us from verse from Ephesians. For it's by God's grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are. And in our union with Christ Jesus, he's created us for a life of good deeds, which he's already prepared for us to do. Just a couple of verses, and yet we could spend hours this morning trying to understand what those few verses mean. But I just want us to try and grasp two things this morning. The first is this fact that God has made us what we are. Actually, in different versions, it says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Now, this phrase to me conjures up a beautiful image of God deciding exactly what we're going to be like, what we're going to look like, what we're going to be good at. What are those things that will make us laugh? What are the things that we really love? What would our personality be like? And then he wraps up all those things into a package and it looks like you. I find it fascinating that we are so different. That one person can smile at something and another person can't because we're different. Now, most of you know I love ducks. I've always loved ducks since I was little. And when I see a duck, it makes me smile. Now, I know many of you appreciate ducks in a very different way. And you know who I'm looking at. And I'm not going to talk this morning about pancakes or plum sauce because it upsets me. But we are all different. And what makes me smile and what makes you smile is different. But we are all God's workmanship. He made us to be who we are. And because of that, we each have the same value to God. And he loves us more than we can ever know. The second thing from those verses is that God has created us for a life of good deeds. Now, it's important to understand that this verse is in a whole section where the Apostle Paul's trying to explain that we're saved by Jesus because of God's grace. We can't earn our salvation, just as we can't earn God's love. But the good deeds that we do are instead an expression of our salvation. And they are a means by which we can accept and live out our identity in Christ. In other words, as we accept who we are and we understand who God created us to be, so we can use every bit of who we are to fulfill our purpose in Christ. Now, that means two things. Firstly, it means there are things that we can do for God that others can't do. Simply because of our combination of personality and gifts and likes and tastes. Some of us love to chat to people that we don't know. Others are terrified. Some of us love to work with children. Others are terrified. Now, as we understand more of who we are, so we can understand and be able to fulfill more of God's purpose for us, and hence be a good steward of who we are. But secondly, as we express our salvation by doing good deeds that we've been created to do, it's also helping us to root our identity in Jesus rather than allowing our identity to be found in the world. Think back for a moment to the beginning of our service. Lindsay read those very well-known verses about when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem and he was greeted by the crowds. A few days after that event, the crowds were yelling for Jesus to be crucified. What did Jesus do? How did he react? Now, if we're honest, I'm sure we all like a little bit of affirmation and praise. And there's nothing wrong with that. And most of us hate it when we're criticised. But Jesus did not allow the way that people treated him to distract him from his purpose. He knew his identity. He knew he was God's son. And whether the people loved him and hailed him as king, or whether the people hated him and shouted crucify, he didn't let any of that stop him from doing everything that God had called him to do. Now, we know that Jesus' sacrifice was a one-off when he died for every single one of us. And yet there are times for all of us when we're called to do things that are tough, when we're called to live in a way that is sacrificial in order to honour God. And at those times, more than ever, we need to remember our identity is found in Jesus. We are God's workmanship. And that's why he loves us. And we respond to his love by fulfilling the purpose for which he created us and by reaching our potential in him. And that requires making a conscious decision, a decision to choose to live for Jesus, to model his values, and to use who we are to build his kingdom. Or if not, to choose not to live our life that way. You see, God has created us with the ability to make that choice and with a free will, which means we can choose to do something different. Quite often when we read Psalm 139, don't we usually miss out those verses from verse 19? You know where the psalmist starts saying that he wants God to slay the wicked and he declares how much he hates them. We leave those bits out sometimes, don't we? But they're important verses. You see, the psalmist knows that God knows all about him. So when he's getting angry with people who aren't living God's way, when he hates them, when he resents them, God knows it. So he confesses those feelings to God because he doesn't want to allow those wrong feelings to cause a separation between him and God. But at the same time, when he does that, he's also choosing to align his heart and his will with God. He doesn't want to be associated with those people who aren't living God's way. He doesn't want his lifestyle to be compromised. He wants to love and honour what God declared good. And he wants to completely live in God's purpose. When we talk about living to fulfil God's purpose, reaching our potential, it sounds really exciting. It makes us think, wow, there's amazing things for us. And it makes us feel good. And it's true, there are amazing things for us. And it should make us feel good. But you know, there is a conscious decision that we have to make to enter into God's purpose. And in doing that, we have to walk away from the lifestyle and values that do not reflect God's heart. And that probably sums up how we can be good stewards of who we are. It's about making a choice, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, to live as God wants us to live. Reaching our potential in Him by choosing to fulfill the purpose for which we're made. Finding our identity in Jesus. And the fact that God loves us for who we are. Not trying to please anybody else, but recognizing God has created us. And we need to accept who we are, thank God for who we are, and use who we are in ways that other people can't because they're not us, to bring Him glory and to build His kingdom. Let's take a moment of quiet to allow God to continue to speak to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank You this morning that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That You created each one of us and designed us to be who we are. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning that You will help us to know our value and our worth in You. To know that You love us. You love us just as we are. To know that You want Your Spirit to transform us and work within us so that we can reach our potential and fulfill our purpose. Lord, I pray for those of us that struggle with that this morning, that struggle with our own self-worth, who often feel like we're just not good enough. Or we're not good as others. Lord, help us to get a sense of You speaking directly to us, saying You are pleased with us and You love us because we are Your child. Lord, help us, each of us, for those that are struggling to understand our purpose in life. To know that You have a purpose and a plan for us. Whoever we are, however old we are, whatever's going on in our life. And to sense that purpose and know how we can live for You. And Lord, remind us that this is not about us working hard for You to earn our salvation. It is about us responding in love to You and Your Spirit working within us to transform us. Lord, we welcome Your Spirit to fill us afresh and to continue that work You've begun in us. In Jesus' name, amen.